I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show and wish you a great 2013. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Susan Gonzalez, RN, BSN, has been educating people on the benefits of healthy lifestyle since graduating with honors from Molloy College in New York in 1986. She is a registered nurse in the state of New York and Georgia and received additional training in cardiac rehabilitation, nutrition, stress management, and smoking cessation, and also became registered as a diagnostic cardiac sonographer in 1999. Since her partnership with one of the top preventive cardiologists in the country in 2000, she has personally counseled hundreds of patients on creating and meeting their own healthy lifestyle goals. As a warrior against cancer-causing ingredients in personal care products, Susan launched her own all-natural organic skincare line, Moon Organics Incorporated, in 2010. As developer and CEO, she continues to expand the line, catering to the needs of those going through treatment for cancer. She was featured as one of the Story Exchange's Inspirational Women in 2012. Susan's mission is to take what she learned and pass that knowledge to others. Having been a cancer patient as well as a caregiver gives Susan a unique perspective on health issues, and this motivates her to produce accurate blog articles with well-cited research. She advocates natural healing and is a strong believer that we take full responsibility for our own health and wellness in all areas of life, diet, exercise, spirituality, as well as self-worth and social healing. She hopes to continue her mission to educate in her first book, 100 Perks of Having Cancer, plus 100 Health Tips for Surviving It, due to be released in the United States and Canada in spring 2013. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Susan, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with breast cancer. Now, first, you went through treatment for stage 3 breast cancer in 2005. Did you take advantage of any alternative or holistic medicine treatments along with your chemotherapy?
Yes, I definitely did, and thanks for having me so much. I did take advantage of several treatments with my chemo. As you know, and your listeners might know, with chemotherapy, nausea is one of the main side effects, and I did have terrible nausea. I took all the medicines that were given to me. I took all those different colored pills, and nothing really seemed to help, and I was losing my appetite and losing weight. So I decided to try acupuncture, and I had never tried it before. I had done some reading about it and decided that that might be a good alternative for me to try. So I went and I researched several acupuncture treatment centers around me to find the one that would best suit me. And so I found one that was headed up by a medical doctor that was also an acupuncturist and an herbalist. And I felt very comfortable with that. When I went, I was treated for the nausea, and I also received some liver cleansing treatments as well, because the chemo does have a tendency to affect your liver and sort of make it tired. So after treatment, I was very surprised, because I expected to have to go to several treatments. And I said to the acupuncturist, well, when should I see results? Do I have to come back, you know, this week? And he said, well, how long does it take you to drive home? And I said, about an hour. And he said, well, by the time you get home, you should be you should have an appetite. And I was a little skeptical, I have to admit. But when I got home, I really felt like eating. I had a wonderful bowl of vegetable stew, and I had a little piece of dark chocolate, and I was amazed. And from that time on, I started looking at for more alternative therapies. So I went to meditation, And I looked at different forms of meditation and decided that the guided imagery would be very useful when I was sitting in the chair getting the chemotherapy. I loaded some guided imagery programs onto my iPod, and I would listen to those while I was getting the chemotherapies, sort of helping my mind to help my body to get rid of those cancer cells. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Now, Susan, being a nurse, I assume that you had a fairly healthy lifestyle before being diagnosed. But did you make any lifestyle changes after you were diagnosed?
Yes, I definitely did. I used to joke with my friends that I was the healthiest sick person they ever knew because I was a cardiac nurse. So I taught people how to be healthy. I taught them how to eat right. I taught them how to exercise. So I was doing all those things. But after my diagnosis, I really put a magnifying glass to my lifestyle. And I started picking it apart and looking, where can I make those changes? I started reading everything I could get my hands on about diet and exercise and vitamins. So the first thing I did was change my diet. I wasn't eating red meat, but I still was eating chicken, dairy, those things. So I eliminated the chicken. I eliminated all dairy. And I went to a more plant-based diet. I eliminated preservatives and chemicals, and I really tried to cut down on the processed foods. So I went to basically a whole, I tried to do organic when I can, sometimes mm-hmm. you can't, mm-hmm. but just a basically a whole plant-based diet. Then as far as my exercise went, I was walking, you know, wasn't really doing anything that strenuous, but I thought I was doing enough. But as I started digging into the research, I found that the more strenuous the activity is and the longer you can do that for, the better it is for your reduction of cancer risk. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I can walk for 20 minutes for 3 times a week. Well, that's great for my heart and mm-hmm. it's, you know, probably will help me lose a little weight. But if I increase that to an hour 4 times a week, mm-hmm. I'll increase my benefits and I'll reduce my risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. Then I also looked at my supplements. I was taking calcium because I'm an older woman, so I want to reduce my risk of osteoporosis, but I also want to reduce my risk of cancer, and that's when I looked at vitamin D. When I first was diagnosed with breast cancer, the first thing they did was check my vitamin D level. Mm-hmm. My vitamin D level was 20, which is very low. It should be up between 30 to 70. So I knew that I needed to keep that vitamin D level up in order to reduce my risk. So mm-hmm. I added 2,000 milligrams a day of vitamin D to my diet, which I was already getting vitamin D. Then I also made sure that I made meditation and prayer part of my routine. That helps me to relax, helps to reduce my stress. Mm-hmm. And then I also looked at adding, I subtracted foods from my diet, but I also looked at adding foods. Foods like turmeric, I love curry, so mm-hmm. I just increased my dose of that. Mushrooms, berries, things that I can add to my diet to reduce my risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. And then as far as chemicals go, I looked at what I was using on my body, not just what I was putting in my body. So I looked at my lotions, my makeup, my shampoo, my soaps, all those things, and found that I'm using the things that are actually getting into my system mm-hmm. and are poisoning right. my system. So mm-hmm. I tried to eliminate chemicals there. Mm-hmm. And then I also eliminated chlorine from my drinking water and my shower. Mm-hmm. So all those things together, I felt, gave me a healthier lifestyle. And I'm constantly learning new things, right. so I'm constantly changing. Right.
Well, I switched to Tom's toothpaste and deodorant because it doesn't have fluorides in. And also they told me at the supermarket that the cancer patients came and got the Tom's deodorant or antiperspirant because it didn't have chemicals in it that would affect them. But someone recently told me that Listerine bought out Tom's. So I don't know what's going to happen to their products yeah. now.
That does happen. The big companies are swallowing up these little natural companies because they see that that's what people are turning to.
And then they
fool us. You know, General Mills, Kellogg's, all those companies are buying out the small little companies that are that we relied on. Even the vitamin companies are being bought out. Yeah, I actually used the crystal. It's just a crystal that you wet and use that for deodorant, and it works wonderfully. There's nothing in it. Mm-hmm. It's just mineral.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the vitamin D because my vitamin D was very low, and my doctor put me on 50,000 once a week, and I couldn't take any vitamin D for the rest of the week for 6 weeks, and that brought mine back up to a normal level, and then I went back to... I don't remember. I think it's 400 that I take or 1,000.
Actually,
did yours bring it up?
It did, and I had to do that as well. And we're finding this, that it's just widespread. Now that we're checking people for their vitamin D levels, it's called a serum 25-hydroxy, once we're checking that, we're finding that so many people are deficient in vitamin D. And this raises the question to why. Why are we so deficient in vitamin D? We're finding children are deficient, older people as well. We knew that people with digestive issues like Crohn's and serious intestinal diseases do have a reduction in serum vitamin D because they don't process it as well. But we're finding that people that are just walking around that think that they're healthy have low vitamin D. I did have to do the 50,000 as well.
Oh, did you?
But I found that because I'm still on maintenance, so I get my vitamin D checked every 6 months. And I'm finding that I do have to bump that up a bit. Now, I said 2,000. I actually take 4,000 a day. 2,000 is really what everyone, the studies are finding, that 2,000 really is the level that we need to be at, 2,000 a day. 400 and the 800 that the FDA is telling us we need of recommended daily allowance, it just isn't enough to get it up. And now I take 4,000 a day, and I just had mine checked, and mine was 60. So it's still not, you know, the maximum.
Now, my new doctor doesn't even check my vitamin D. I had a woman doctor, and she had not done a physical in 4 years. And I had her after my own doctor retired. So I switched. Well, then he did a physical and tells me that I'm only eligible to come once a year because I don't have any major illnesses. And I said to him, well, I'm used to coming and having my different levels checked to prevent problems. And he said, well, you can't do that anymore. And so I did find a medical intuitive who tunes in periodically on the telephone and picks up where I'm deficient in certain things, but I'm having to pay for that in addition to paying my health insurance.
Yeah, maybe someday they'll realize that preventative care will save a lot of money in the long run.
Right, right.
I'm hoping that that's the wave of the future.
Now, Susan, what are three things someone could do right now at this moment to increase their health and start reducing their risk of cancer?
It's very easy to reduce your risk of cancer by simple daily additions. One of the things is omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3s are particular fatty acids that your body cannot make, and we need to take that in from our diet. But it's found that most people are not getting enough omega-3s, and it's the balance of omega-3 to omega-6 that will prevent long-term chronic illness. Omega-3s reduce inflammation, generalized inflammation in your body. So if you have enough of these, it will help to prevent the chronic illness. Most chronic illnesses are caused by inflammation, some type of inflammatory process that happens when either we're exposed to toxins or stress. Our body responds to that by inflammation. It's similar if you get a cut. You know that that little cut area swells up, it gets red. The same thing happens in our body when we are exposed to toxins, pesticides, different things in the environment. If we're constantly being bombarded with these things, yes, we need to detoxify. But if we have a constant state of inflammation, you will have chronic problems down the road. The omega-3s help to reduce chronic inflammation response. Omega-6, on the other hand, increases inflammation. And omega-6s are found in things like polyunsaturated oils and corn products, which Americans are just notorious for eating corn, mm-hmm. and most of our corn is GMO, genetically modified corn, sprayed with pesticides. But we find corn in many things. I mean, most of our breakfast cereals have corn. We eat corn chips. We use corn oil. It's everywhere. We're supposed to have the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 be 1 to 2. That's a healthy ratio in your dietary intake. Mm-hmm. Most of us eat omega-3 to omega-6 1 to 20. So we're getting way too many.
Mm-hmm.
Omega-3s can be taken in a supplement form. You can take it in fish oil, which is very popular, or flaxseed oil. If you're trying to reduce your animal product intake, you can take flaxseed oil. Another way to get omega-3s is from chia seeds. Chia seeds are extremely high in omega-3s. 3 tablespoons has over 4,900 milligrams of omega-3. And the omega-3 capsules, as you know, have 1,000 each, and you're supposed to take 2 a day. So mm-hmm. 2,000 milligrams is the normal dosage. 3 tablespoons of chia seeds is over double that amount. And chia seeds are becoming more popular. They're easier to find now. They're very, very tiny. They look like poppy seeds. A lot of us remember chia mm-hmm. seeds from the
right.
chia pets.
Right.
From the.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very easy to use. You can throw them into shakes or into your cereal or oatmeal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I would recommend is supplementing with some form of omega-3. The second thing would be just to breathe. Most of us are so stressed that we are taking these tiny little shallow breaths. We're not getting oxygen into our bodies and our lungs the way that we should. 3 things that we need to live are oxygen, water, and food. Well, if you're not getting good oxygen into your body, you're not getting that nice relaxation that you're supposed to get. You're not mm-hmm. reducing that risk of cancer by reducing your risk of stress. So one thing you could do is just take a deep breath. Place your hand just above your navel on your belly and take a big deep breath in and make that hand rise. Give yourself a big Buddha belly, mm-hmm. as I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you're not only taking oxygen into your body, but you're stimulating one of the nerves, the vagus nerve, which is attached to your diaphragm. Your diaphragm is what pushes your belly out when you take that deep breath. By stimulating that vagus nerve, you're telling your brain to relax. You're actually sending a signal to your body to tell it to relax. We can breathe anywhere we are, when we're driving, when we're on the computer, when we're sitting in class, when we're at work, doing our work, just take some good, deep cleansing breaths. That's very easy to do. We can do that all throughout the day. And then the third thing I would say is to go get a glass of dechlorinated water, where most of us don't realize that we are dehydrated. We are so busy in our day that we don't drink enough water. And as you know, our intake of water is directly related to our output of our toxins. So the more water you take in, the better your body will be able to function to get rid of those toxins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend taking a big glass of water. Some people say 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. I like to say half your weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces of water, try to shoot for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. You know, it's a good idea to keep a bottle of water with you. You know, just make sure that it's not a plastic bottle, that you have a stainless steel bottle or something that you can drink out of. But if you have it with you all the time, it's a lot easier to take in.
Right. The other thing I think that is important when you say to have it with you all the time is I was measuring out 2 quart of water to make sure I had plenty of water every day because the elderly frequently get dehydrated. And I went to a medical intuitive, and they told me I was dehydrated. I said, how can I be? I drink at least 2 quarts of water every day. And she said, well, do you drink it regularly, or do you drink it all at one time? I said, well, I drink it when I think about it. or when I get thirsty. And she said, and if there's a quart left at the end of the day, you drink it? And I said, yeah. She said, well, your cells need water regularly, and you need to do it on a regular basis. So now I set my alarm, and I measure out my water morning and afternoon, and I take a certain percentage of that every hour so that I don't get dehydrated again.
Yeah, that's very smart. And I like to tell people, what nice thing to remember is a liter before lunch. Mm-hmm. If you can get a liter before lunch in, mm-hmm. then usually, you know, you can stretch out that other throughout the day. But that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Susan, a last thing I'd like to ask you about are the ingredients in personal care products that you see that are a threat to our health as far as cancer risk?
The two top cancer-causing chemicals that I'm seeing widespread, and if anyone looks at their bottles of lotions and things at home, they're going to find these. Parabens is one. Parabens are synthetic preservatives. They're very inexpensive to manufacture. So companies like to put them into lotions, toothpaste. We even find them in certain medications, cough syrups and preparations. They can get into your system from your skin. So you put lotion on your skin, the parabens are going to be absorbed into your skin and get into your system. When they enter your bloodstream, they are estrogenic, so they mimic estrogen. And studies have shown that they have been found, parabens, these chemical synthetic preservatives, have been found in breast cancer tumors. So they do get absorbed into your system. We don't think about when we put things on our skin that it's going to be absorbed into our body, but our skin is our skin is a carrier, not a barrier. So anything you're putting in on your skin, you should look at it and say, would I put this in my mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, then you probably shouldn't be putting it on your skin. And then the second thing is triclosan, which is a very widespread antibacterial, and we're finding it everywhere in toothpaste, in deodorants, in hand washes, soaps, body washes. It's even in clothing now and on carpeting and things we use around the house to prevent bacteria from forming.
Mm-hmm.
Triclosan is very dangerous because it can stain your system for a long period of time, and it hooks on to your fat cells, so you're actually storing the triclosan in your body, which is extremely unhealthy. And this is also an endocrine disruptor. It affects the thyroid gland. And unfortunately, I just read a study yesterday that said that we're now finding triclosan in umbilical cord blood from babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just finding that now. So we're, you know, these chemicals are part of our daily life,
mm-hmm.
and they are getting into our bodies, and they are affecting us. So it's something that we need to look for. We need to start reading labels, looking for those, the paraben. The parabens are anything that ends in P-A-R-A-B-E-N, paraben.
Mm-hmm.
There's methyl paraben, ethyl paraben, butyl paraben. There are many different types. If it ends in paraben, it's the same family of chemical preservatives.
Mm-hmm. Then, Susan, would you tell us about your upcoming book and how the listeners we'll be able to locate that, and anything else you want to say about products or services that you may have?
Sure. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I looked at my personal care products, and I decided to change what I was using, and I found that I really couldn't find anything on the shelves that I liked, that worked, that was healthy. So I decided to start making my own. And in making my own, other people wanted to use it, so it kind of snowballed into a company, and now I own Moon Organics, which can be found at www.moon-organics.com. And I'm constantly coming out with new products, and I use only plant-based products, no preservatives, nothing chemical, no synthetic fragrances or anything. And everything that I make, I try to make it healthy so that I would put it in my mouth. You really could eat the mm-hmm. stuff that I make for your mm-hmm. skin softening and such. And then from that, I have a blog called The Savvy Sister. Another blogger, Flo Strang, found me through the internet. She lives in Newfoundland, and we decided to write a book together. She just finished her website and it's entitled 100 Perks of Having Cancer. And she challenged herself to find 100 positive things during her treatment of cancer. So we decided to team up, and the name of our book is 100 Perks of Having Cancer plus 100 Health Tips for Surviving It. Mm-hmm. So I give 100 health tips to help you survive cancer, survive your treatment, and then prevent further cancer from showing itself up later in life. And she also gives 100 perks or 100 good things that happened to her mm-hmm. during her cancer. So we hope that this will, you know, give a few smiles to some people and also give some good information that they can use in their daily life. Mm-hmm. And you can get to that. We have a Facebook page. You can get to that from my blog, The Savvy Sister. You can find that on the Moon Organic site as well.
Mm-hmm. So that would be www.thesavvysister.com. And could you spell that out maybe?
Well, they can get to that from my website, which is the moon, moon-organics.com, and there's a link right on that page to mm-hmm. the Savvy right. Sister blog, mm-hmm. so they can find that.
Good. And when will the book be out?
The book is due to be released in probably the spring of 2013, mm-hmm. and we're hoping to, it'll be released on Amazon and in all the bookstores in the mm-hmm. North America, so United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. I appreciate this very much, Susan. I always like to talk with my colleagues and hear what they're doing, and you're doing some exciting things, and I appreciate this very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners.
Thank you. I want to tell you about another great issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. Two stories and musical segments jumped out at me that are connected by the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. As with most of his musicals, the most popular songs require a special voice that is able to hit both the high notes and the low notes. The first article in music is a trailer and music segment from a new movie of Les Miserables, starring Anne Hathaway, Hugh Jackman, and Russell Crowe, to be released in December 2012. The scenes and music, and especially I Dream a Dream, sung by Anne Hathaway, is memorable. The other is a story about Jackie Evancho, a 12-year-old soprano from Pittsburgh, who was discovered on America's Got Talent when she was 10, and who recently released an album of songs from the silver screen. Her singing of Music of the Night from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera is outstanding. Another article of interest was the interview with Howard Strauss, the grandson of Max Gerson and son of Charlotte Gerson, whose grandfather discovered and used the Gerson therapy for cancer. It consists of an organic, salt-free, fat-free vegan diet with the addition of detoxification, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. He says plant-based foods will alkalize the body, whereas protein foods, including dairy, will acidify your body and even suck calcium out of your bones. He also says genetically modified foods are useless and lethal, and Monsanto is the most evil corporation on the planet and pays big money to prevent food labeling so they can continue selling unhealthy food to the unsuspecting public. There is much more on the typical unhealthy diet in this article. Other interesting articles include information on a feature-length documentary that leads viewers across continents searching for happiness, information on Proposition 37 on food labeling that failed in California but will be modified and reintroduced, information on the ineffectiveness and suppression of information on vaccines, an interview with Bill Cosby on American Children, and an interview with Glenn Close, on her career and her role in the play and movie, Albert Nobbs. This is just a taste of the many exciting articles and music in the latest issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Sam Conti, was written up in articles in England for shrinking her deadly tumor with an anti-cancer diet. Her story was presented on my website and will be discussed in the interview. A brief overview follows. When Sam was 23 years of age, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer in situ, which was treated with a cone biopsy and a Letts biopsy. After the hospital was satisfied that they had removed the cancerous cells, she received colposcopy regularly and after 3 years went back to having yearly smear tests. After several years, her periods became heavy and her doctor recommended regular colposcopies. Over time, the periods got heavier and eventually her doctor recommended ultrasound. Within 24 hours, she was called back to surgery and fast-tracked to the hospital, where a biopsy was performed, along with an MRI scan, a CT scan, a chest X-ray, and blood test. 1 week later, she was told she had cancer of the cervix, and her case was being handed over to Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge. After investigative surgery at Addenbrooke's, in the recovery room, she was told that she had severe cancer of the cervix, grade 4A. It had wrapped itself around her bladder and bowel and spread into her lymph nodes. The tumor was mobile, so the oncologist was going to recommend surgery followed by radiation and chemotherapy. Unfortunately, this would mean an 11-hour operation involving intricate bowel surgery and resulting in a colostomy bag. The surgeon gave her a 50% chance of survival and beating it. She decided to take control of her own destiny, health, life, and beat the cancer. The first book she read was titled Cancer, A New Way of Life, written by David Servan Schreiber. This kick-started a complete change in the way she ate and she embraced the anti-cancer diet wholeheartedly, totally focusing on positive thinking and preparing herself for battle. After surgery, she was told there was no colostomy bag, as would have been expected. Over the following few days, several consultants visited her and expressed their amazement at their findings during surgery. The tumor, it seemed, shrunk. They had not been able to locate it around her bowel and indeed had called further surgeons into the theater for second, third, and fourth opinions. They removed 9 lymph nodes, of which only one was cancerous. 2 months later, in January 2009, she underwent a 5-week course of radiotherapy and chemotherapy to back up the surgery and is now fit and well and has a clear MRI scan and appointments with the oncologist are down to every 6 months. But she is absolutely confident that the anti-cancer diet she followed resulted in the miraculous shrinking of the tumor. Her diet consists of drinking several cups of green tea daily, eating several portions of vegetables, incorporating herbs and spices into cooking, eating whole grain, soya, and fruit, especially berries, and trying to avoid sugar, processed food, dairy, and meat. Having heard a lot of great things about green tea being a truly wonderful source of antioxidants, as well as having other health benefits, she discovered a favorite and also learned it was one of the best sources of all health-boosting elements. This tea was Japanese senka. She sourced some fresh senka and started drinking it in huge quantities. That's how www.teaforlife.co.uk was born. Tea for Life is her own online company selling green tea directly to consumers around the world. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Sam, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with advanced cervical cancer. First,
thank you.
How did you find out that you had cervical cancer?
Well, it was about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, I was suffering with very sort of period pains. I had stomach pains and I was having very heavy periods, actually. And I went to the doctor and I explained, and I did get brushed off, actually, by the doctor, who just said to me, you know, sort of take Nurofen for the pain. And I went away and I felt a bit cheated. So I decided to go back and see another doctor and explained to her the situation, and she said, well, let's get you checked out. There might be all sorts of solutions like hormone coils and various different things. And because by this stage, obviously, I'd had 2 children, so, you know, it's quite a common condition. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was from then on, I was checked out, and I had a smear test, and then I was called back. I had ultrasound. I was called immediately after the ultrasound, and then I was taken in for a biopsy, and then I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And it was after that that they decided to do the MRI scan, the CAT scan, more x-rays, blood tests, just to see whether the cancer had actually spread.
Mm-hmm.
But I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. But I would like to say that when I was very young, when I was 21, I had some problems, and I had a couple of minor operations called a cone biopsy and a Letts biopsy, for abnormal cells, which does affect quite a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, I religiously stuck to my checkups. You have to have regular checkups, regular smear tests.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was only a year previous to my cancer diagnosis, 3.5 years ago, that I'd actually had colposcopy. So It was a real shock to the system to actually be in this situation, where I felt that I'd done everything necessary to avoid being in the situation.
Right. Now, Sam, between the diagnosis and your surgery, can you tell us what happened?
Yes. Well, I was diagnosed, and when I was diagnosed, by this stage, I was at a very big hospital in Cambridge. And they'd had me down in surgery just to have a look at what they were dealing with. And they told me that I had a grade 4 tumor that was wrapped around my bladder and my bowel. And they would like to operate because it was mobile, inverted commas. Well, I wasn't quite sure what that meant. But I think it means that that they felt that they could get the tumor off. But it would result in me having a colostomy bag. It's a surgical procedure called a pelvic excentration, where they take everything away. And it was big, heavy stuff. And then I would have a follow-up of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And I was booked in for that surgery 3 weeks down the line. So I left the hospital that day in complete shock. I was 39 years old. The children were, at the time, 3 and 4 years old. And I just didn't know what to do. And I went round to see a friend, and she poured me a glass of wine. And I sort of thought about drowning my sorrows. And then I thought twice. And I went home and got on the internet and started looking at alternatives and how I could actually help myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that I really needed something to believe in. I felt that I really needed to take matters into my own hand. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to turn my back on the medical profession at all, because I needed them as well, but I needed to help myself. And I started researching into the power of nutrition and how it can affect the body, and how certain herbs and spices can act as anti-inflammatory, and how sugar has a very negative impact on our bodies. And I was up all night researching, and it was kind of a big shift for me in my mental state. I suddenly decided that I was going to go vegan. I was going to believe that all of this food could really help me. And the following day, that's when I went to the supermarket. I restocked on everything, and I started learning from that day a whole new way of life. And that way of life was, I gave up sugar, I gave up dairy, I gave up anything processed, anything refined. Mm-hmm. Actually, at the time, I did give up meat, and I gave up fish, apart from oily fish. I did eat sort of organic or wild salmon, and I embraced vegetables, really. Vegetables, herbs, spices. I learned a vegan way of cooking, mm-hmm. and I used heavy amounts of turmeric, ginger, all of the basil and the herbs, the Mediterranean herbs and spices, a lot of shiitake mushrooms. I had whole grains. I started eating soya. I'd marinate soya, and I'd make biscuits because I felt like I needed a snack, so I'd make biscuits, and I wouldn't put any refined mm-hmm. sugar in them. I'd make them with fruit. Mm-hmm. Drink soy milk and coconut milk, and suddenly started to feel absolutely incredible. But I believed in what I was doing. Right. I really did believe in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I went in for my surgery, just feeling good. I'd lost weight, and I kind of looked much better in myself. Mm-hmm. And went down to the theatre, and the operation that I was meant to be having was 12 hours, followed by 3 hours in intensive care, followed by 2 weeks recovery. I was in the surgery for 2 hours. I had a hysterectomy. They downgraded the cancer to grade 2. They couldn't find the tumour wrapped around my bowel and my bladder, which they had witnessed seeing only 3 weeks previously. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't believe their eyes. They removed 9 lymph nodes, only 2 of which had the cancer in, which was far better than they assumed. And I was out back on recovery ward, and 5 days later I was discharged from the hospital. Mm. It was amazing. So it was quite an incredible experience, actually.
Right. Now, did your family also follow the new diet, or did you have to cook 2 diets?
No, they did, to a point. I mean, obviously, with 2 young children, it's very difficult to get them to eat sort of things like lentils and mm-hmm. to cut out milk and stuff like that, because they mm-hmm. are very used to it. But my eldest, he likes coconut milk. They've certainly become, and now, it took a little bit longer over a period of time, actually, mm-hmm. to really get them to embrace vegetables. And we home cook everything now. We don't eat processed food. But they're still children. They still have some sweets, mm-hmm. and they still have the occasional parties, and they have whatever's going. Because I do believe that it's important not to cut out everything from them, and they have to learn about food choices rather than feel that they're on a particular diet. But yes, my husband eats the same as myself, mm-hmm. and if he wants some meat, I'll just add some chicken to his, you know, mm-hmm. green vegetable curry. But his intake of veg and decrease in dairy, etc., is quite significant.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Do you have some tips and hints for people that want to follow the vegan diet?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think the most outstanding part of it for me was how much more I actually ate. And I think it's really important not to allow yourself to go too hungry, because mm-hmm. when you get really hungry, you generally want to reach for something that's quick. And it tends to be the quickness and the convenience foods that are really don't fall into this sort of vegan way of life. So I would say make snacks, make biscuits, get the equipment. I mean, now I've got a dehydrator, and I dehydrate, I make crackers and things mm-hmm. like that. But they're all to hand. So a little bit of pre-planning makes a huge difference mm-hmm. when you follow a diet like this, because otherwise you feel like you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I have a rule. I mean, I've been clear now for 3.5 years, mm-hmm. and in order to integrate this way of life into my life and not feel like I'm missing out, I have a rule. And my rule is, whenever we go out to eat as a family, or round to people's houses for dinner, or we have friends here for dinner, I cook whatever I want, and I eat whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I am vegan up to a point. But if I want to go to a restaurant, and I'll generally, funnily enough, if I want to order a steak, I will. But generally, I'll have something with perhaps a goat's cheese pasta or something like that. But I do have what I want. I don't restrict myself if we go out or if we entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for me, because otherwise I feel I felt like it was a bit all-consuming.
Right. You know, Sam, could you tolerate the beef okay after not having had it?
Not really. I don't really enjoy eating meat now,
mm-hmm.
if I'm honest. And it's just that I try to say to myself, if I wanted it, I could have it. But because I don't eat a lot of cheese, well, I don't eat any cheese, really, that's the one thing that is a real treat if we go out. I tend to have something cheese-based rather than meat-based. That's the truth. But it's very rare, and I just enjoy, you know, you get used to feeling so good.
Right.
You find that if you kind of go off it, it doesn't make you feel so good. And my body's not used to feeling like that. So, you know, it does encourage me to stick to this way of life, because I don't have a problem with weight. I don't have a problem with my skin. I don't have a problem with energy. I don't have energy slumps. If I don't have time, I've got a juicer. I'd advise anybody to juice as well. And I put all sorts of vegetables into the juice and mix it with an apple and ginger, and it tends to come out absolutely fine. Once you put an apple and some ginger in to anything, you can generally drink it, and it really tastes quite nice.
I had not eaten beef in 25 years, and I went to a neighborhood party, and they had chili. And it had beef in, and there wasn't much else at that point because most of the people hadn't come with the food. So I thought, well, I'll have a little bowl of chili. Well, it was so heavy on my stomach. It took me a week before I felt good again.
I know exactly what you mean, and I have the same thing, you know. So now when we go out, I do tend to... I do say to myself, I'm going to eat what I want, but I know what I know what I choose is going to be better for me in terms of how I feel.
Right.
I know the right choices to make.
Right.
I mean, I had, after my treatment, after I got the All Clear, I then had a course of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And they told me at the time to eat low-fiber diets. And I didn't. I just thought, no, I can't do that. I can't eat white bread and, you know, sort of Rice Krispies for breakfast. I just can't. So I carried on following my diet, which is very fiber, heavy on fiber, because I ate so many vegetables and whole grains. I was fine. I was fine.
Yeah, right. So, now, Sam, it's been then 3 years since you've been clear of cancer.
And a half years. Actually, it's nearly four now. It's going to be four in November. So timed. Yeah, I know. Good. I can't believe. Three in November. 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you had challenges since?
The biggest challenge for me was when everything was over, and I knew I was clear. My challenge was believing in myself and keeping the worry of it coming back, keeping that in control. So I think anybody, well, certainly for me, going through cancer is at the time you're on a sort of treadmill and you're under the medical supervision. You know, I was doing all this for myself, and then bang, I had this miraculous recovery and I got over it, and suddenly I'm away from the hospital and you're just sitting down thinking, what now? So that was a challenge I had to overcome, that getting over the anxiety of it coming back. But I kind of overcame that by continuing to eat well, continuing to believe in myself, and just being quite, as you said, quite spiritual and believing that, you know, I've done everything that I can do to help myself, and it's me now. I can't rely on anybody else. It's down to me. My health is within my control. So that helped me. Yeah, that was the biggest challenge, actually. Once you're away from all the action, just getting on with normal day-to-day life after something as big as cancer is quite hard. And the other challenge I found was, in the beginning, I felt, I'm being totally honest about this, when it was such a miracle what had happened. I got home from the hospital and I said to my husband, I feel like I'm trapped now. I can't eat any other way, because if I eat any normal food, I don't mean normal food, because obviously I do eat normal food, but if I go and have a McDonald's, I'm going to get cancer.
Oh.
And he said, don't be so silly. You know, everything that you've done is fantastic, but it's been a combination of your mental attitude, mm-hmm. your focus, your spirituality, mm-hmm. your diet. It's been a combination of everything
right.
that has got you through this,
mm-hmm.
Not just the fact that you've eaten a lot of turmeric. And it was quite good to hear that. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Right, very much so. Because
yeah.
I believe that it's a holistic approach. And when I had cancer, it wasn't just the diet and it wasn't the Laetril. But it was the prayer, the meditation, the visualization, the affirmations, the being of service to others, which I see as a spiritual activity. It was a combination of things. It wasn't any one. Right.
Yeah, and that was exactly what I needed to hear.
And it wasn't any one McDonald's hamburger. It was probably... more than one hamburger.
I mean, the funniest thing was, I said to Mick, I wouldn't have a McDonald's hamburger in a million years now, but mm-hmm. it just, I don't want to feel trapped by what I've done. I want to embrace what I've done and go forward comfortable with everything rather than feel like, oh my goodness, it's such a miracle that if I don't eat like this, it's going to come back. That was possibly a challenge that I had to overcome. And I did that by saying, right, it's up to me
mm-hmm.
how I live my life. I feel great living my life. I feel great eating this type of food. This works for me. But if we go out and I want to eat whatever, you know, if I'm eating what somebody dishes up, then I eat it. Don't restrict it.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked for me.
Now, Sam, you have set up a tea company. Can you tell us why you did this and also tell us about the tea company?
Yes. Well, one of the elements of the anti-cancer diet was green tea. And one of the best green teas with the richest source of polyphenols and antioxidants and catechins, etc., was a Japanese tea called Sencha. And it was advised that you drink about 4 cups of Sencha on a daily basis. And I found it very difficult to get hold of. So I was getting hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely. I'd never really had a lot of luck with green tea previously to my diagnosis. I was very much a builder's tea girl with 2 massive sugars
mm-hmm.
And milk. And so the green tea was a big shock to my system. But unlike the tea bags, it wasn't fishy or bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, very mellow tea. So I thought, actually, I can do this. So I started drinking it by the gallon full. And it made me feel amazing. What with everything else, it doesn't give you that coffee slump that you mm-hmm. get if you have too much coffee. It's very energizing and it's very light and non-bitter. So I decided to... start selling it. I decided that if it was that difficult to get hold of, maybe I should get hold of it and set up a company and start selling tea.
Mm-hmm.
So the company was formed about 2.5 years ago, and it's called Tea for Life, and now we do 7 ranges, but most of them are Sencha-based. I've got a weight loss tea as well, which is quite a fashionable tea. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's Pu'er. But I've got the Chill Out, which is a low caffeine tea. I've got the Sencha. And then for people who prefer the taste of fruit tea, I've mixed the spices with Sencha as well. So, yeah, we've got different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it's an internet business. And, yeah, it's good. It's I've done quite a lot of talks in various support groups
mm-hmm.
around the area and taken my tea, and generally when people taste it, they're quite encouraged by the fact that it's not a hardship to drink it,
mm-hmm.
unlike some green tea, mm-hmm. I have to say, from personal experience.
Would you spell Sencha for the listeners in case they're...
Yes, it's S for sugar, E-N for never, C-H-A, Japanese
mm-hmm.
Sencha.
Mm-hmm. Sam, would you also tell us your website, how the listeners can find you?
Yes, it's www.teaforlife, and that's T, and then the number 4, life.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
We're now doing, I've just relaunched my website, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not gone live yet, but the new website will be out in probably about 1 to 2 weeks on live on the system.
Mm-hmm.
And we've included international postage, et cetera, for anybody overseas. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Now, are you going to write a book about your experience?
Well, funnily enough, I have been asked a couple of times, it mm-hmm. would make sense, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't know where to start.
Well,
yeah,
I remember something. I think it was in The Wizard of Oz. They said, start at the beginning.
Yeah. Yes, that's a very good idea. I should seriously give that some thought, actually.
Right.
Seriously.
I think it would be an important book to have out. Especially
okay.
with the emphasis on diet and, you know, what you did with diet and with the tea, because
yeah.
the research backs that up, and you could find lots of research that
yeah.
you could back up what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on my website, actually, I list so much research on green tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
mind-boggling. And every day I see articles in our national dailies, like, you know, quality broadsheets
mm-hmm.
like Daily
mm-hmm.
Telegraph, etc., talking about green tea is very good for Alzheimer's. They're starting to prove that it can slow down the effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to prove that it's good for some, you know, it's good for skin protection. It can protect against skin cancer. It's absolutely endless. It
right.
really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, amazing thing to drink. And I think anybody can incorporate 2 or 3 cups of it into their daily life easily. It's not difficult.
Right, right. Well, great. Well, this has been very interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Sam, to the listeners?
No, just thank you for the opportunity for letting me talk on your show.
Great. I appreciate this very much. And as I say, it's been interesting, and I hope that you will hear from the tea drinkers now.
Yeah, I hope so too. Or at least if they like me on Facebook, or I'm going to start a blog soon as well.
Oh, good,
so
good.
Yeah, so any comments are greatly appreciated.
Great. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Really good to talk to you.
And you too, Sam.
All right then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.